Grading.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good to get in here today. Yeah, Shane. They would look and say, what's up with him? What's up with Coach? Shave my face. I've been thinking about it for a while, and I went got a haircut yesterday, too. And I was sitting in the barber getting my hair cut, and just having a conversation with old Henry, my barber. And I said, you know, Henry, I'm thinking about shaving off my goatee. And he says, well, let's do it. And he did it. Shaved it off. Grabbed a razor, cleaned myself up. People don't even recognize me anymore. I figured my wife said I look younger. I don't look as mean. Maybe Right Wing Watch will start loving me now. Hey, Kyle, I know you love me anyway, buddy. Morning. I'm going to get into all that stuff. Got really something sitting on my shoulders today. It's what is it? It's anticipation. Anticipation is making me wait. Anticipation. Why? Something's happening there. Wow, I look like my dad. Whoa, dad. Anticipation. Something's happening, boys. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I stayed up and watched that State of the Union. Watched all of it last night. It's pretty amazing. I'm not going to be here to replay it. That guy's a master. He's masterful. And what is the master of deception? I hear you. I hear the naysayers. Hang on a second. I just have to say this. Some of you will never admit you were wrong. You'll never admit it. You know, somebody said to me a few years ago, I was going through doesn't matter where. And they said to me, you know what? The hardest words in the English language are, you ready? It works with your wife, by the way. I'm sorry. I was wrong. What we see going on in America is, to me, is so blatantly obvious of what's happening, the spiritual conflict that's taking place in America, that there are so many people who are still so dug in, they can't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I've heard Dale Socia say it a number of times. Dale Socia said, I didn't vote for Donald Trump. I was wrong. Glenn Beck, that he was wrong. Doesn't matter. Nothing wrong with being wrong. Something wrong with staying wrong. And I also hear you out there saying, well, Coach, this thing isn't over yet. He's really part of the Mossad. He's really playing for the same team. It's just a two-card Monty that's going on. Okay, well, you can go ahead and believe that. But as I've said a number of times, if he's lying, we're screwed. If Donald Trump's playing on the other team, he's screwed. And I wonder how many of you out there who won't say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Those of you who will not say about the president, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I wonder if you pray for him daily. You sit down, the Bible says the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord, that the Lord turns it wherever he wants. You sit down and pray fervently and daily for the salvation of Donald Trump. You do that? You sit down. Those of you who are critical, say, yeah, you guys are being lied to. He's just part of the Mossad. You sit down fervently and cry out to the Lord, Lord, get a hold of his heart. Change the heart of the king, Lord. Please change the Lord, we need so much a change of heart in America. We need a change of heart in the king. You do that or you're too prideful? Because you're wrong. I'm just gonna leave it at that. I'm just gonna leave it right there. I put a meme up last night after Trump's speech was done. Say, imagine, I'm paraphrasing. Imagine what he could do if the Republican Party was behind him. That's a mic drop, isn't it? He's a man without a party. I was noticing last night as all those people up are standing up and clapping like seals. How many people in there didn't even help him? They didn't even help him. Mitt Romney standing on his feet clapping. I think, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You know what I'd have done? I've seen people do it before, not necessarily coaches. Stand up and take credit. Say, yeah, you were against me and you were against me. That's what he should have done last night. He says, hey, Romney, stand up, dude. Stand up, Mitt. That's what he should have done, but see, he's too smart. He understands. It's amazing what you can get done if you don't care who gets the credit. My friends, Donald Trump can't make America great again. Can't do it. Only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can do that. But at some point, we got to get on a horse and ride. We got to quit being double-minded. Double-minded. The double-minded man, the scripture says, is unstable in all of his ways. Let him not expect anything from God. What if our churches every Sunday fell on their faces? That would be something just right there. If they just fell on their faces. What if the American church fell on its face and fervently cried out for salvation of our president? Fervently did that. What if that was the entire focus of every Christian church in America over the next month? Could Donald Trump resist that? Could he resist that? And how many are doing that? How many? How many self-righteous people are still judging him by how many women he laid? Who, by the way, people criticizing them probably didn't go to the altar virgins themselves. Right? And if they'd had Donald Trump's money and power, chances are pretty good they'd have been whoremongers too. Just telling you the truth here today. Just telling you the truth. I got so many emails. Let me take a second here. I don't know what's up with you homo supporters. I don't know what you think you're going to gain by shooting me an email. And hey, Kyle, at Right Wing Watch. Hey, Jared, pull that up there. We made front and center Right Wing Watch today. Hey, Kyle, I know you're out there watching, and I got to tell you this, dude. I ought to send you money for the promotion. I can't believe the number of emails I get from maggots calling me names, all kinds of stuff. And these are guys who don't even know where to put their sex organ. They don't even know what part. They don't even know. And they think that they carry some kind of weight with me. Here's the great news, Kyle. Keep sending them my way. Keep sending them this way because they may get the gospel. In fact, Kyle, you might get it if you keep hanging around here every morning. So I just want to say publicly, I had a guy in, when we went to the gun rally, guy is from, he lives in Boston. And he's one told me, I said, where did you find out about me? He said, Right Wing Watch. The what? Yeah. He said, I go to Right Wing Watch because they tell me which guys I ought to be supporting. That's where I found you, Coach, Right Wing Watch. So Kyle, God bless you, man. Thanks. And you maggots out there, you maggots that send me the emails, listen, you don't have any idea how easy it is to hit a delete button. And your opinion carries, I'm going to tell you something, no hate weight with me. In fact, get a different argument. Stop saying I'm a closeted homo. Stop. Get a different argument, will you? For heaven's sakes, get a new one. Get a new argument. Come on, Dick. Come on, Coach. Come out of the closet. I know what you're, oh, Coach, I know you want to. I know you want it, Coach. I know you want me to come over. You guys are just, you know what I can't believe? I'm speaking to my friends now. I can't believe we're letting them run the world. That's what I can't believe. Those maggots, as Mike Heath would say, let them run the world. So they shot me up front and center, Right Wing Watch today. Dave Dobler hopes to sue the NFL for putting his eternal salvation at risk with the Super Bowl halftime show. And by the way, hey, Kyle, want you to know something? God bless you, man. You quoted me pretty well. And you think, I don't know why you put this up, but folks, I'm not making this about me. I got to do this. Look at the second paragraph. Hey, folks, the average person listening to this, reading this, now I'm not some demon-infest homosexual. I'm not talking about him. They don't get it. They don't know where to put their sexual appendage. Come on, man. I would take advice from them. But the average person reading this would say, huh. So here's what they quoted. I think we ought to sue, he said, talking about me. Would that halftime show, would that have been rated PG? Were there any warnings that your 12-year-old son, whose hormones are just starting to operate, was there any warning that what he was going to see might cause him to get sexually excited? Was there, folks? So far, I'm sounding pretty reasonable, I think. I think we ought to go sit down in the courtroom and present this as evidence of how whoever put on the halftime show is keeping me from getting into the kingdom of heaven, Dobbenmeyer added. Could I go into the courtroom and say, viewing what you put on that screen put me in danger of hellfire? Could the court say that doesn't apply here because the right to produce porn overrides your right to not watch it? Yeah, well, you didn't tell me I was going to watch it. You just brought it into my living room. You didn't tell me there was going to be crotch shots. Folks, that's a pretty reasonable statement. Kyle, thank you, man. See, anybody but a sexually deranged sodomite would see that as pretty sensible. People watch Right Wing Watch, they're demons. They're demonic. They're incapable of knowing the truth. I'm going to shift gears. But I want to thank Kyle for that. Let me stop right here real quickly and give all of you a chance to comment. I know some of you are itching to comment on the State of the Union last night. Somebody come on in. Whatever. What's on your heart? Jump in here real quick.
My takeaway was it was a perfect demonstration of how much the Democrats hate America.
They do. Larry, it's unbelievable, isn't it, Larry? When Nancy Pelosi tore up that thing at the end of it, you know what she tore up? They wrote about that Tuskegee Airman. They talked about the guy whose daughter was killed. They talked about it was unbelievable. Talked about blacks getting jobs and all that. And she stood up and tore up that whole thing. Why? They don't love America. She doesn't, folks. They don't love America. When are we going to understand it's two parties, right? It's two. It's the seat of the serpent and the seat of the woman. And our problem is, we think the Republicans are good. They're just not as bad. That's all. And none of this would be going on if it wasn't for the guy, the orange man standing in the middle of the picture. He has been the most cataclysmic change agent. When the force of change of any human being, I don't even know when. He has changed the entire atmosphere in America. Some say it's for worse. I say it's for better. He's a straight talker. Now I feel like I can be I've always thought I could be a straight talker, but he's made it okay again. He's made it okay for us to stand up and speak the truth. What a watershed event that was, the election of Donald Trump 3 years ago. Somebody else, come on in.
Yes, Coach. Of course, we've seen all the mean out there about what did she rip up? Was it the Constitution? Was it her impeachment? But listen to this. I was just thinking, last night, Trump did something. Okay, so he sent and got Baghdadi, got him killed, got that guy from Iran killed. Last night, he personally pulled the trigger and assassinated the Democratic Party.
Boy. Well, Dale, they did it themselves, though, right? Pelosi's behavior was unbelievable.
He delivered her a bomb, and when she ripped that, she blew it up in her face.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a copy of his speech, and she was reading along with that, and she was giving cues and things to the people, her party, whether or not they should clap or stand up or whatever, if you saw that.
Chad, I think it's important that we say this. Thanks for coming in there. We were talking a little bit, folks, before we went on the air this morning about, I believe, my personal opinion, the demonic control that Nancy Pelosi has over everybody else. Now, folks, you have to know this, don't you? I don't know. There's 200 and however many. How many Democratic representatives are there? There have to be some of them that are moderate, normal people. There have to be some. Yet you never hear a word from them. They never break rank. What? 232. Thank you, Dale. Out of 232 people, none of them ever break rank. What does it tell you about the demonic control and power that Nancy Pelosi must have over them? What is it? Is it money? Is it secret information? What is it? What is the power that she holds over all of those people that she could be at the top of that and driving that demonic agenda? And anybody who's in any way, shape, or form in any type of marketing, the last thing they would have ever wanted was for that woman to be sitting in the seat last night. I don't know how they could have done something about it, but something's happening here. I hear somebody. Come on in.
When Donald Trump was handing the folders to the vice president and Pelosi, mm-hmm. when he handed it to Pelosi, she went to try to shake his hand, and he turned real quick.
Right. Right. Do you blame him?
No. She knew what was up.
What's the purpose of a handshake, anyway? What is that? What purpose of a handshake? Would you shake?
It's a greeting. It's also a sign of respect.
Right. Would you go shake the hand of an abortionist? Huh?
No.
Would you go shake the hand? Would you go shake the hands of someone who was doing a demonic transgender program in your kid's school? Would you go shake your hand? No. Do you think that Donald Trump feels like he has any respect at all for her? No. I'm glad he didn't do it. I think we need more of it. I think we need less handshaking, to be honest with you. I think we could use a little less of it. Somebody else, come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was at one of those big box stores, and this is regarding Trump. He was wearing a Trump 2020 hat, and I asked him, do you ever been hit yet or attacked? He said, no. Then he turned on the conversation and says, hey, I was wearing this hat. And he says, oh, you should wear a Trump mega hat, 2020 hat. And I go, what? Why? I am not going to put him on a pedestal above Jesus Christ. And he looks down in shame and goes, yeah, you're right.
Mm. Amen. Amen. It's hard. You know, we have to somehow, I'm typing something. We have to figure out how to balance those two. And if you've watched the show at all, I'm not a Trump. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm not an idolater of Trump. I'm not a Trump worshiper. I say the same thing I always say. Who else would you rather have in there? And nobody ever has an answer. They just don't want him. They don't have an answer who they'd put in there. Oh, they say, I want Ron Paul. Well, good, but Ron Paul isn't running. Ron Paul isn't even in government anymore. A Rand Paul. Well, Rand Paul's not running. Rand Paul could not be president of the United States right now. If they killed he could if they killed everybody in government but him. It might get down to him, but he ain't going to be president. It's going to be those three people looking right there. They get rid of Donald Trump right there, folks. There's two behind him. They'd be president. And you want my opinion? I don't trust that Christian man over his right shoulder. I trust Donald Trump more than that Christian man. Anybody agree with me?
Yeah, amen.
Huh? Yep. I trust that Christian. I don't trust that Christian man.
Yeah, Pence. He's
my. I'm just telling you something about him. I don't trust him.
They are all compromised, and the age of decorum is over.
The age of decorum is over. Is that Kevin? The age of decorum is over, brother. We're at war, and it's time.
Yes, sir. It is, and that's exactly what's going on. We got the age of decorum has long passed, and it's now time to either get on one side or the other side. And I believe, in my opinion, Donald Trump is on the right side of history, and he's on the side of Jesus Christ. I've seen too much.
He's not on the other side. He is not on the other side. Once again, he stood up last night. How many? I wish I could go back through that thing. How many times did he mention Christ, not God, God, religion, freedom? How many times? Would you put Georgie Bush up there? Either one of those Bush boys? We'll put either one of them up there and compare him.
You say, well, I thought was great. He doesn't believe
as if Bush did. Go ahead, Chad.
I'm sorry, Dad. I thought and one thing that I thought was great that I've not heard any president say in a long time was this is country is a republic, for Pete's sake. A republic. We're not a democracy.
You know what else he said? Amen. At least three times, maybe more, government schools. At least three times, maybe four. I elbowed my wife. Did you hear what he said? He said government schools. What's that?
Failed government schools, he said.
Yeah, the government. I caught that also. The government schools. That is speaking my language.
Me too. Now, we know this. He didn't write this speech. I don't know who did. Probably that Miller. That kid's pretty smart. Probably was him. But, you know, when I saw on Facebook, a number of people said, grown men, said they were brought to tears. Why were they brought to tears? Did you hear? I wondered, does he listen to the show? He talked about the Lone Ranger and Davy Crockett. It was unbelievable that he took us back to the old America. It was masterful. Now he could be one of them. He could be one of the other side. But man, oh man, was that ever masterful. If you guys didn't get a chance to watch it, I suggest that you do. Go watch it. And you know, it's amazing. If they have any good marketers in the Trump campaign, this thing's over. All he has to do is show Trump talking about black unemployment going down and then show the Democrats sitting on their hands. Women unemployment going down, show them sitting on their hands. Wanting to protect unborn babies and show the women, the Democrats sitting on their hands. I mean, it's the...
They could take segments of that. They could take segments of that speech, and it would be the perfect reelection campaign. You wouldn't have to produce any other commercials the whole campaign.
That's right. Have to make a statement and show their reaction. That's all he has to do, Larry. All he has to do.
Dave, I was going to say one thing I'm intrigued by is, I mean, the Democrats have to know they're behind the eight ball. They have to know it.
That's why they're dangerous.
And then Pelosi, she cannot constrain herself to give Trump more material. I mean, they have to know they're behind the eight ball going into 2020. They do not have a good candidate. Guys like Chris Matthews are abandoning ship, but yet she still gives them another photo op. It's like they're relentlessly lost in their evaluation of what's going on.
Roger, I don't think they all are. The demonically controlled ones, they're their father, the devil, man, and they're just digging a deeper and deeper hole. They cannot break the pattern that they find themselves in. Jared, pull up the thing on Mayor Pete, because I want to show you guys this.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
When she tore that speech in two, it hit me in 1 Samuel 15 when Samuel told Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, God has torn the kingdom from you. He reached out, Saul reached out to grab Samuel and say, no, don't do this to me. And he tore his clothes. And this is it. This is what hit me, Coach. God is speaking this right here. And I'll make this statement. The Democratic Party, it will be over after the next election. There will be a new party come out.
Well, that's because it's a division. Same thing was happening in the Republican, Randy. There's a division between the old guard and the new guard. Their fights just happen publicly. It's happening, Randy. It was happening to the Republican Party too. Had Donald Trump not come in, it was two parties that were heading in the same direction, and Trump put a brakes on it. The left is so far. The old people and the new people are so separated. There will be war. There's going to be political war within the Democratic Party. Now I'm going to show you what's going on here. I don't know if you guys saw this. This is from Mediaite. Look at this lady here. She looks like anybody you'd find anywhere in America. Anywhere in America. And she is a Democrat, and she's at the Democratic caucuses. And watch what happens here. She finds out that Mayor Pete is gay. It's just now, Kyle, right wing watch, he'd call her a bigot and all that kind of stuff. But she found out Mayor Pete was gay. She didn't know it. She didn't know it. And watch it. I think this is the reaction. If they think Mayor Pete Buttplug can win in America, they are. This one ain't no bigot. She's just an American. And listen, she wants her ballot back. Go ahead and play it, Jared.
Has a same-sex partner. Are you kidding? He's married to him, yeah.
We need to find out if that's serious.
Well, then I don't want anybody like that in the White House. So can I have my card back? I don't know. He signed it. We could go ask.
I never knew that.
Well, so that was the whole point of it is, though, he's a human being, right? Just like you and me, and shouldn't really matter. That's what...
Well, he better read the Bible.
he does, and he says that God doesn't choose a political party. Because
why does it say in the Bible that a man should marry a woman then?
Well, I totally respect your viewpoint on this. I so totally do. But I think that we were not around.
How come this has never been brought out before?
It's common knowledge.
I never heard it.
We can talk to someone if you need to talk to them.
Girl's gonna play the Christian card.
All the rules on this or not, but I guess what I would like you to just dig deep inside and think, like, should it matter if it's a woman or if it's a man or if they're heterosexual or homosexual, if you believe in what they say? That's my question.
It all just went right down the toilet is where it all just went.
And that's, you have a total right to your opinion, and I am not trying to...
She has a right to her opinion. She doesn't want her to have that opinion, though. Go ahead.
Tell you to think otherwise, but we'll ask what they want us to do. But I just ask you to look inside your heart because you sound like a...
Here comes the Christian card.
Christian woman to me, and I'm a Christian woman, and my God
wants
me to love everybody. I do, yep.
So you must not believe it then if you think it's okay for somebody to be married to a same-sex person.
No, I think we're just interpreting it different, and that's okay, because everybody gets to have their own beliefs. But what I teach my son is that love is love, and we're all human beings.
There you go. Hey, folks, mark it down right here. Mayor butt plug. Well, never went. People don't know he's a homo. They don't know it. They don't know, as Mike would say, he's a maggot. They don't know that. Oh, my goodness. How did we get to the point in America where he could even be considered? Jared, do me real quick. Jeremiah. This is where I am today. Jeremiah 1. I take my faith seriously. I don't take it literally. I do, but I take it seriously. Take it seriously. It frames, identifies who I am. I want to stop right there before I read anything here. Can somebody help me here? Which Bible verses are we to obey? Is it selective? Was it like that girl that we just saw there? My God, and here's what I... Which Bible verses do we decide to obey and not to? Which ones? Do we obey the Bible verse that says, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them? Do we obey the Bible verse that says, do we do the same, but give hearty approval to those who do it? Do we go by the Bible verse that says Ezekiel 3 that we're to warn the wicked, because if we do that, we deliver our own souls? Or do we go by the Bible verse that says Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so? And which Bible verse do we believe? Which Bible verse do we follow? Does God both hate and love? Does God both kill and give life? What do we do here? What do we do? What good is the Bible if you make it a buffet? And today you eat chicken and tomorrow you eat fish. And then on Wednesday you'll throw in a little bit of beef in there. Just pick and choose, pull out of there whatever you want to. Bible. I believe it, that settles it. Well, that's baloney, because you don't. You don't believe it. It doesn't settle it. Which one? And are you gonna not believe the Bible and act upon the Bible because somebody else believes it differently? They say, oh, you're so hateful and judgmental. Well, so is God. God's hateful and judgmental. Go through the Bible. God hates a lot of stuff. God judges a lot of stuff. Why aren't we allowed to be Christ-like and be hate, hateful and judgmental. Can somebody explain to me why we're not allowed to be hateful and judgmental when God is and we are? He lives in us. I'm not allowed to hate anything. I'm not allowed to judge anything. I'm not allowed to stand up and say, I don't know anything about Mayor Pete Buttplug. He may be one of the nicest guys in the world, but anyone who's engaging in anal sex, men on men, does not qualify to be president of the United States. Why is that hateful? Folks, why is that hateful? They don't want Trump in the office because he slept around with women. They get to make a determination about his morality, but we can't make a determination about Pete's morality. I'm going to love him. That's how we lose, folks.
Coach,
I love Christ more than I love Mayor Pete Buttplug. Sorry. Go, Joseph.
You see the key word she said in there, the young lady? God's love.
Yeah. Yep, she's been taught pretty good, hasn't she? She's been taught pretty good.
Coach, we need to turn it around. Every time they say that, we need to say, no, you're hateful. I love. I tell you the truth. You're hateful. You don't care. You know, we need to turn it right around.
Stand up. Hey, Randy, I don't know how many emails I got yesterday. And hey, Kyle, listen to me now. Okay, Kyle, listen to me. Every one of those guys who sent me an email, not everyone, I responded basically the same way. And I said to them this, dude, you don't even know how to have sex and who to have sex with. And you think your opinion matters to me. They don't even know what to respond to. They don't even know. Why are we letting these deviants be in control? Why? Because you're not allowed to say what I just said. You're not allowed to call them deviant. You're not allowed to do that. Jared, hang on right there, Jeremiah. Hey, Jared, go to Webster's. Go to Webster's. Come on, man. We're allowed to use the words. We're allowed to use them too. A word doesn't designate hate. Deviant. Deviant. Or deviate. That deviate. What is that? To turn aside or wander from the common or right way. They are sexual deviants. Their nature deviates, right? To stray from the path of duty. To wander in a moral sense. To err. To sin. Homosexuality is deviant. Why are we afraid to say that? Why are we not allowed to say that? And is that being judgmental of someone? How about this? Drug abuse is deviant. It's deviant. Hey, sleeping around heterosexuals is deviant. Why do we let them determine what words we can use? I'm back at Jeremiah now. Because here's my job. Always understand this. When you read the Bible, follow and obey the principle. You cannot take, like for Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Listen, we understand that concept, but that was directed to Jeremiah. Understand that? God knew Jeremiah before he put him in the womb. We can kind of assume that he knew us before we were in the womb, although it doesn't tell us that. It doesn't tell us that. It tells us that Jeremiah, he knew before he put him in the womb. He knew that. We can take that principle and apply it to us, but we have no, I don't think somebody out there is smarter than me. I don't think anywhere else it says that God knew us before we were in the womb. But the principle's there, okay? The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Anathoth. I'll look that up, see what that word means. To whom the word of the Lord came. Hey, guys, can the word of the Lord still come today? And to the whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. They came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, under the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive into the fifth. It's a history lesson right there. It's a history lesson. We don't get it because we don't understand the history of it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, hey, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb. Now, can I say that before the Lord formed me in the womb, he knew me? I can take that principle, but it doesn't say anywhere that he, okay, just trying to be clear on how to read this. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before you came out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now that is specific to Jeremiah. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. The Lord said, don't be talking that way, Willis. Don't say I'm a child. Don't say you're nobody. Don't say your words don't have any power. Don't say that. Before I formed you in the womb, I put you right in this spot. In my mind, I had you right where you are today, ready to say what you're getting ready to say. Don't say that. Don't say I'm a child, for thou shalt go. You listening out there? For you shall go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command thee, hey, dude, you're going to speak it. Oh, Lord, do we obey this? Do you ever say, I bit my tongue? Really? Is that good that you bit your tongue? Be not afraid of their faces, Nancy Pelosi. Why? For I am with thee to leave you hanging. I'm with you to leave you hanging, to get you crucified. Because I'm with you to leave you hanging out there all by yourself. No. I'm with you to what? To deliver you. You go say what I want you to say. Hey, buddy, I'm with you, and I'm going to deliver you through it. Don't be afraid what their faces are going to be ugly. Don't be afraid of them.
Okay, coach. Look at that word go. That verb go.
Mm-hmm.
Do. Act. Look at that. Wow.
Yes, sir. Speak, right? Huh? Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow! Woo! And see, I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms. He did what? We're supposed to just go hide in church and let the devil run rampant? No, he said to Jeremiah, this day, buddy, I'll put you over top all of them. Why? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. By the way, does anybody see the word love in there in anywhere? Does he say, I sent you out there to share my love with everybody, Jeremiah? Go out there and show them how much I love them. Tell them that Jesus loves them and they're, what? No? Are any of these words, words of peace? Let's see. Root out, pull down, destroy, throw down. And then, after you do that, start building and planting. See, new construction is easier than reconstruction. Why? Because you got to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down before you can start building and planting. You have to do that first. We are in a reconstruction mode in America. But moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you see, your eyes working pretty good in there, bud. Well, I'm going to hasten my word to perform. Wow! He's going to run to his word. God puts his word above his name. Because if his word is no good, his name's no good. I'm going to hasten to perform it. What? To tear down? To root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down what? Nations and kingdoms. To root out, to build, to start over, to plant. And then the word came, Lord came to me a second time. He says, what do you see now, Jeremiah? And he said, well, I see a seething pot. And the face therein is toward the north. And the Lord said, north, saith the Lord, and they shall come, and they shall set every one at his throne, at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof round about and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up your loins, Jeremiah. You're getting ready to go to the battle, buddy. Gird up your loins, arise and speak unto them all that I've commanded you, and be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound them before thee. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. And they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail. For I'm with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. He's not just with you. He's with you to deliver you. Man, oh man, I feel that one down through my toes. We are sitting in a bubbling cauldron and don't even realize we are. We don't even understand the power that we have right here, right now. Because we're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good. We have the power. We have the power of something in mind. I'm sorry. We have the power from on high indwelling us, and we refuse to unsheath the sword. There it is. We refuse to take that thing out. All power, all heaven and earth, all heaven agrees with us. And we can't wait to get raptured out of here. It makes me want to barf.
Amen, Coach. But amen. I do have one little bit of biblical correction to add to what you've been saying all these weeks.
Be kind, Larry. Be kind to me, Larry.
Okay. You keep saying, have no fellowship with darkness, but rather expose it.
Yeah.
The Word says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. That's stronger than exposing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. What does it mean to reprove? Hey, Jared.
It means to admonish.
What does it mean to reprove? Reprove. I know what it means, but you guys don't, you don't believe me.
Hey, Coach.
Somebody told you don't listen to me. I get them in trouble, so some of you don't listen anymore. Reprove means to blame or to censure. To charge with a fault to the face. To charge with a fault to their face. To convince of a fault. To refute, to disprove, to excite a sense of guilt. To manifest sin. See, they told us, who are you to judge? That is the devil's words. Those are the devil's words. Who are you to judge? We are to judge, to reprove. Yeah, Randy.
Coach, have Jared go to Jeremiah 23 and read 25 through 29. This is just going to put the icing on the cake. This is what the word of the Lord does to the false message that we're speaking against. This is what
Jeremiah 25.
23. 23,
verse 25. I've heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yeah, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Can I stop right there, Randy? The pastors are cowardly. They're not going to call you to battle because they don't want to go. And so therefore, they're going to tell you, we're not supposed to. I'm not called to do that. Which thing to cause my people to forget my name? We forgot who God is, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Right now, riding on a white horse, right now, with eyes of flame of fire, and out of his mouth comes a two-edged sword, which he, and all this, he's got tattoos on his leg. Right now, he does. It's not a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Which thing to cause my people to forget who I am by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell that dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like as fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer breaks the rock in pieces?
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
Ask a question. It's kind of on topic. We seem to be using the word maggot a lot.
Mike is. Yeah.
I like the word sodomite. Their activity is, there's sodomy going on, because I don't know if the name calling of the individual is the best way to do, to rebuke and reprove and exhort them. I think we would be better to describe the action than to name call the action. You know, I understand that he called out the vipers and the political and religious leaders of the day, but I think we'd be hard pressed to find in scripture where Jesus name called the sinner. He reproved them, he rebuked them, told them what to do, but I don't know that he name called them out.
Well, as close as he got was "you sons of the devil, you sons of Satan." But yeah, I kind of agree, Roger. I like using the word maggot myself because it gets attention. But yeah, let's be a little more specific and let's don't use a name. Let's call them, okay, you penis receptacle.
Well, the point is this: the issue Sodom and Gomorrah, Sodomite. I mean, to me, that is how you describe the act. That is how you describe what they do. We don't need, our job is to call, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, and to move them in a direction towards Christ without name calling.
Robert, do you think calling somebody a sodomite is name calling?
No, I think that's biblical. Okay. I think we use the word sodomite should be used all the time.
So for that behavior, right? Call that behavior what that behavior is. Folks, that's not hateful.
No. I'm not. I like the word sodomite. I'm just not inclined to like the word maggot.
Oh, okay. I'm getting it now. Right?
No,
we call people drunks. We call them alcoholics. We call them whores. Why can't we call them sodomite? See, what has made that word unspeakable, friends? What's made that?
If you use the word sodomite, everybody looks at you like you're something. You're ready to. That's the biblical word. And it's there's a very easy defense that I think the word sodomite is tied to Sodom and Gomorrah. I was searching scripture to see where the word sodomite was used and quickly couldn't find it. But that's the biblical understanding. Mm-hmm. At that time, their act was called sodomy. And in our own criminal justice system for years, it was called sodomy.
That's right. Hey, Roger, or whoever, I'm not picking on Roger. If the word sodomite is not effective, why do they hate it so much? Why do they get so upset when we use it if it's not effective? And see, because we call abortion choice, people don't think about what is abortion? What's child murder, right?
Well, I think you...
It's not an abortion clinic. It's a death camp. The murder.
I think our description of their act should be very pleasantly put forward and without any emotion. It is a man putting his penis up a man's ass. You just leave it there. That all by itself, without anything else, without bathroom issues, without transgender locker room issues, that in and of itself should turn heads.
Because, boys and girls, that ain't love. Sorry, that ain't love.
Hey, Coach, there used to be a time we called them faggots, which is biblical. See, people say that's not biblical. But in John chapter 15, he says the branches that are broken off and gathered to be burned in fire, a bundle of sticks is a faggot. Mm-hmm. And, brother, when you look at that, when you look at the outcome of a sodomite at the end of their life, brother, they have withered away to a bundle of sticks.
So, Dale, here's the truth. Hang on real quick. I'm sorry. This just came to me. See, we don't understand, folks. We don't understand the depth of the depravity of that behavior. We don't get it. The Lord called it an abomination. We don't get it, folks. We think it's like French kissing or something, right? It's just something that you do, right? No. And they've tried to normalize something that is abhorrent, okay? They've normalized it. We're not even allowed to talk about them anymore. You're not allowed to talk publicly about what Mayor Pete would do if he was President Pete in the White House. We're not even allowed to talk about that. And I wonder how many of you, I'm sorry. How many of you, when you go into a hotel room, would sleep in that hotel bed if you knew the night before two gay men had occupied that bedroom? How many of you would feel good? Raise your hand. In fact, when you go to Holiday Inn, say, can I have the gay room? Can I have the room where they performed anal sex last night? What bed would that be? Have you changed the sheets? Are you with me? Wake up. And it doesn't have to do whether I hate the homosexual. Stop saying that. No, that's destructive to our culture and our society. I hate that. I'm compelled by my faith to rise up against that. I won't accept it.
Coach, God is calling us. He is calling us today. Every one of us here listening. Everyone. Just speak the truth. And guess what? When it's truth, it is a hammer. It's going to break that rock. It isn't up to us to say, oh, you offend me. It's just us to say, like Jeremiah, you are living a lie, and you're going to pay the price, and just speak the truth and move on. Speak the truth and move on. That's our job. Speak the truth and move on.
If calling someone a sodomite offends them, I want them to know that them taking that activity and calling it a marriage offends me. And I don't have the right to say that. They get the right to accuse me, but I don't get to. What's wrong with you folks? You ready, Robert?
Dave?
I didn't get where I was going to go today. Yeah, go ahead.
I kind of hold pants. It was a big problem in some of this too, because when he was governor of Indiana, I live in Indiana, we had on a ballot to outlaw, or whether we wanted to outlaw, gay marriage, and it passed overwhelmingly that we did not want the gay marriage to be allowed. It passed, it went through, and then all of a sudden somebody threw a fit and went to the circuit judge in Chicago. He overruled it, said it was unconstitutional, and Pence didn't stand up against it. And old Pete up there may have still been mayor, still may be running for president, but he wouldn't have been married. He wouldn't be married right now. You know what I mean? And he wouldn't have this momentum, you know, to do what he's doing.
Not only that, Pence has got Trump's ear on the homo. Pence didn't stand strong on that.
I sent him an email after it happened, and I told him, I said, God's going to judge you for this moment if you don't stand up against this. And he never did. He never let it go.
Mike Heath stood up against sodomy, cost him his job. Folks, if you think you're going to stand up in this war and not have any casualties, Bible says count the cost. You best count the cost. Best. Because the cost could be your grandchild. That could be the cost. You better count it. Robert, February 5th. I'm not talking about the life death of your grandson. I'm talking about your grandson falling into that wicked, wicked sin. Or worse yet, somebody else's grandson. Trapped into that. Introduced to that lifestyle in public schools, public library, introduced to it. Because you didn't stand up and say anything about it. Your pastor was too cowardly to take it on because the big tither on the front row's grandson is a homo. God, come on, Robert. Are you there, Robert? Is Robert with us today? I didn't even check.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, Coach, do you mind if I make a quick statement?
Yes. Yes.
It's about that cold, cold lady in that video. She claims she's a believer.
Yeah.
I'll need to make this statement. This is for the believer. Repent. She needs to repent of her willful unbelief and defiance to the Holy Spirit.
Jeff, she doesn't know she's in defiance to the Holy Spirit.
Right. But she's been influenced through, I learned a new term, Bibleism, religion.
Yes.
That faces, she is actually a Gnostic, and she's not of the Holy Spirit.
She doesn't know that, see. We have to understand, folks. Please understand this. There's a great delusion that's come on America. A great, great delusion. And it's said that there will be a day when what? Woe to those who call good evil and evil good.
If it were possible, even the elect would be deceived.
That's right. And so what we're seeing is a different gospel. See, they are hearing a man honoring, man exalting gospel.
Yeah, Robert's back.
Yeah, I got logged off, but I'm logged back on.
All right, bud. I was about ready to throw you. About ready to throw your book in the trash.
Here we go.
Yes, here we go, buddy.
We are saved by responding to God's prevenient grace, and we are sanctified by relying on God's perfecting grace. A little bit of word on the grace there. What is it with the super apostles and anointings, super prophets and mantles? I'm referring to the NAR, New Apostolic Reformation.
All right. Yeah.
It's a sort of a weird group there. But anyway, nearly 2,000 years ago, through Christ Jesus our Lord, his disciples received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his namesake. You know, the obedience of faith.
Amen.
Jesus authorized, commanded, and commissioned them, saying, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age."
Oh, Robert, he told them to go and teach, and then he told them what to teach.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes, to obey, you know.
Yep.
They would not lack anything, since Jesus would send his Spirit to baptize and dwell and empower them to be witnesses and martyrs. Then they could die to self and become living sacrifices for him. So there's no excuse for being passive and doing nothing. We have been equipped to do everything. They would be given everything needed for their job in seeking and proclaiming the kingdom and the gospel of God. After all, they have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Believers have been made complete in Christ. They have been granted God's precious and magnificent promises to escape the world's corruption and to become partakers of divine nature. They're adequate and equipped for every good work, having been entrusted with the inspired scripture. They would be empowered to live for Christ and be taught to abide in him by the Holy Spirit of truth. Having received the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they would not need anointings of men. Having been baptized and clothed with Christ, the righteous one, they would not need to seek baptisms and mantles from religious ones. And in case anyone may still question God's full provision, the Apostle Paul reminded the believers, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not also with him freely give us all things?" So what is lacking now is not that believers are lacking, but they are slacking in their job.
Amen.
You know, we've been entrusted and empowered to do in the kingdom of God, and we just need to get out there and do it.
Friends, listen. Most people that you're going to come in contact with, if you're speaking the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom of God, if you're speaking that gospel, most people are going to oppose you. They don't even know what it is. They don't understand the kingdom of God. They don't understand it. They've been taught a different gospel. Because most of them have been taught this watered-down, man-centered gospel, they look at you as what? Troublemaker, you're hateful, you're deceived. And I'm going to tell you this. Get used to it. Because when you find someone who you speak to, and they get it, and they understand, and they're motivated, they will go to their pastor, and he will do everything he can do to shut it down, everything he can. Because if he understood the truth, he would be teaching the truth. If he understood the truth, he would be leading the fight. He doesn't understand the truth. So as you look across the spectrum, see, telling a story is not telling the story. Hearing a gospel is not hearing the gospel. Those are not the same. And I can get in here and I can find the prosperity gospel. I can find the healing gospel. I can find the love gospel. But I also can find the conviction gospel. I can find the rebuke gospel. I can find the hate. It's a balanced book. You cannot You cannot just preach love, love, love. You can't. That is an imbalanced gospel. Must teach both. Balanced on both sides. Folks, open up your mouth and speak the oracles of Christ no matter what the consequences are. That's the only way we have any chance of overcoming the darkness that's all around us. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.